This is Sex and the Struggle, Yummy Liberation, honoring the magic, the miracles, the mysteries manifest through my parents, Ulysses and Clarice. I am Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and this is Sex and the Struggle, Yummy Liberation. My girl Kelly B is going to be joining me shortly. I got a lot that I want to talk with her about, but before she comes on, I'm going to start talking with you about the wonderful things that are going on. Let's see. So, Sex and the Struggle. Sex in the Struggle. God is sex. That's what it is. Sex in the Struggle. God is sex. It's happening November the 19th, 2017, again at the fabulous MJ Freed Theater in Chester, Pennsylvania, about 15 miles outside of Philadelphia. I love the location. Any location is perfect for Sex in the Struggle. This one in particular is really nice. We did Sex in the Struggle, Let's Get It On, the premiere back on 16th of September. And Chester, Pennsylvania, if you're not familiar with it, is also home to Widener University. Widener University is the only university in the country that gives a master's degree and a PhD for students who want those degrees in human sexuality studies. Chester, PA, first city of Pennsylvania. I've had a wonderful time the last 20 years getting to know that place. I say that I was born in Chicago, but I was raised in Chester, Pennsylvania. So we're doing Sex in the Struggle, November the 19th, 2017. If you are anywhere in the region, you want to get there, because this one is shaping up to be fucking incredible. I got my girl Tazima Davis, who will be joining me. She's coming from Chicago. My buddy Tony Rulo, who is an orgasmic meditation practitioner, he will be showing up again, just as he did September the 16th. I got a couple of new people. Alicia Gonzalez is going to join me. Sex Positive, I'm pronounced that right. She'll teach me how to say that, but she a badass is what that boils down to. And I got a guy named Mark Levin, who I'm just getting to know, who is a graduate, just as Alicia is, from Widener's Center for Human Sexuality Studies. I'm going to slow down a little bit here because I am amped. I am happy. My name is Ulysses Butch Slaughter, and you are tuned into Sex in the Struggle. This is the Yummy Liberation segment. And my sister girl, Kelly Vandiver, is going to be joining me shortly, so I'm just going to try to run off a few things before she hops on the phone. Sex in the Struggle, by the way, I just got the website going. You want to check out the website. It is sexinthestruggle.com, sexinthestruggle.com. You can go there now, and you can actually click on the ticket link, and you can get your tickets for Sex in the Struggle. God is Sex, November the 19th, 2017 is when it's happening. I got a brother named Malik the Freak, who is going to be joining us. He is a poet who was on HBO's Real Sex, episode number 26. Malik the Freak will be joining us. Had a chance to hang out with him a couple weeks ago, and the brother is extremely entertaining. And that's one of the things about Sex in the Struggle. Not only do we educate, but we entertain. And it looks like my sister is with me now, because the fabulous Kelly Vandiver, that is her. See, I told you she was here. She is both entertaining and very educating. Is that the word I want to say? She educates and entertains. Something like that.
I hope so.
What's up, Kelly?
I'm awesome. What's up with you?
Oh, well, I was just running down to the listening audience, the things that have been going on. I've been feeling really good these last 4 days, Kelly. Last Friday, October 13th, was my mother's 74th birthday, and I always have this thing that I go through around her birthday. And then yesterday, October the 15th, was my son Octavius's 12th birthday, and I do a lot of reflecting over those 2 to 3 days around his coming into my life, my mother, and what she's meant to my life and my work. And it feels good to be doing Sex in the Struggle. This is so fucking right now in my life that I'm just feeling really grateful, feeling extremely grateful. So I'm doing very well, as I anticipate Sex and the Struggle, God is Sex, November the 19th, 2017. I can't wait for that, Kevin.
That's so awesome. I'm so happy that you're so happy and feeling good.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being happy for my happiness. What's going on in your world, sis?
I know. Enough of us aren't happy for others when they're happy. And it's a rarity these days to find people who are super happy and grateful. So thank you for being happy. I'm awesome. So I'm in the middle of move and, you know, with kids, that's always fun. So my schedule has shifted a little bit, but I'm doing amazing. I cannot complain. I am fucking alive, right? So it's great.
Yeah. You know, I say to people that in order to get traction in life, that you want to be on a cycle. And what I mean by that is both metaphorically as well as physically. I think that in order to get traction, if we think about, you know, a bicycle or a wheel of any kind on the ground, that in order for that thing to move, it has to be touching the ground. And I think that in order for us to get a rotating, spiraling, powerful buildup, in order to get traction, we got to have a cycle. So I'm so glad you're part of my cycle. I've been thinking about the ways that I can keep good people in my cycle and that I can be part of their cycle. So, again, I just feel amazing. I feel like a babbling idiot right now, so I'm going to shut the fuck up and let you do yummy.
Oh, my
gosh,
no. You're not a babbling idiot. You're awesome. No, this cycle. So, yeah. I'm so happy that you're in my cycle also. It really makes all the difference in the world, the friends that you have, the friends that you keep and that you're in circle with. And you pick the right friends, and they matter so much to our evolution and to our growth. And the better friends you have, you know, the higher we all get. So it's super important.
That's
super
quotable,
important.
Sister. That is quotable. Yeah. That is definitely quotable because, you know, it is the relationship thing.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I have so many friends who are coaches, right? Like that's the big thing to be these days, right, as a coach. And tons of friends in those circles. And I actually had this do I want to talk about this right now? Well, anyway, I'll just keep it super indescript, but you'll get the point.
Okay.
So I have a friend who is a coach, and she is amazing. She is just I befriend because I want to contribute to other smart people's lives, and that's who I want to contribute to my life. And I'm talking about in close-knit friendships where I'm spending some time with you every week. Either I'm talking to you, I'm, you know, one-on-one friends with you. And so those are the kinds of people that I, you know, tend to hang around. And I remember that there was a friend, another friend of ours, a mutual friend, and she had pursued a relationship with sort of a group of us for a while. And she was just going through some stuff. And I remember that my other friend, who is a coach, sort of pulled her into the group and just became sort of her mama in a way that she had never experienced before. And it was such a, anyway, I can't really describe it in the best way. Anyway, the point is that because the coach who sort of is the leader of this group, it's sort of a a local, you pay to be a member kind of mentorship group, basically. And so as she's pulling in these different women and as she is mentoring them, these women are just slowly but surely becoming like the next best versions of themselves. And
right.
their circle of friends, when they, you know, start the process, looks completely different than their circle of friends a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later. And what happens is the people who are in their cycle and the people that are helping them make traction and rise higher and higher and higher, they change. And it's just so cool to watch. Anyway, I said that all to say that I totally understand why you're so happy, and I understand why you're loving your life right now, because the people that you're surrounding yourself with are people who are interested in higher evolving, higher thinking, and becoming the best version of themselves. So I love...
You know what, Kelly, I got to tell you this. I was on Friday with Tazima. You remember Tazima Davis? She does Sex and the Struggle with me. Yeah. So I'm on with her the other day, and she, like 2 weeks in a row, she's talked about stuff that I had been dealing with in the days preceding our conversation. So I would say to her, stop following me. Because I know you, you know, like got a drone or some shit following me around. And that's why you can talk about these things. And I'm about to say the same thing to you. You know, what you're saying right now, I got to tell you this really quick story, Kelly, because what you're saying just like fucking nails it on the head for me. I mean, you just put a stamp on something. All right. So last week, a friend of mine calls me and she says this to me. She says, first of all, she starts out, you know, kind of unassuming, like, you know, she didn't know what she wanted to say and shit. So she says to me, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm good. It's a woman I've known about 15 years now. And
okay.
She says, what you up to? And, you know, it sounded like she was leading me someplace. So I just wanted her to get to it. So I said, what's up? You know, I was about to say a name. I'm not going to say a name. So, again, I've known her 15 years. And I want to get to this point of what you're talking about regarding getting traction, cycles and circles and how this stuff changes in relationship. Anyway, she says to me, is there a picture of you circulating on the internet naked? Now, Kelly, you've probably seen this one picture that I have where, you know, I'm all buff and shit. And I'm like from like the top down to around my crotch area. And then I've got my hands covering, you know, my front.
Yes, I love,
you know, that
picture.
Right? I do too. I absolutely love that picture. And that picture is probably fucking 4 years old. I need to take a new one. Anyway, so she wants to know what I'm into. So, you know, I start explaining to her because I'm like, oh, she wants to know about Sex and the Struggle. Now, she's pretty religious. She's more than pretty religious. She's fucking hyper religious, I think. So she goes into this thing of questioning where I am and what's going on with me and, you know, what are the influences and all this. So she's admonishing me on one hand. She's like giving me this subtle punishment and these subtle warnings about what I'm up to and how the devil shows up and blah, 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 blah.
Did she say all that?
Oh, my God, Kelly, she was going in.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, I'm like, say that again.
She was talking about all that, the devil and the Bible.
And she's for some reason she can't accept the fact that I've been separated for a long time, and wants to continue to refer to my ex as my wife. So she's just gonna keep putting the shit on me, okay? And so I had to adjust her. And I said, I think your commentary is actually for you. I don't think you're actually talking to me. I think you're actually trying to convince yourself of some things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using me as your kind of go-through, because I don't need the shit you're trying to give me. And so
mm-hmm. yeah.
it was tough, because this is a friend who at one stage in my life, in a particular way, we were really close. And I've graduated in a particular way, not from our friendship, but
right.
in a particular quality. You know, we're still friends, but there's some
yeah.
places where I'm hanging out that she can't hang out with me no more.
Yeah.
You know, and so the point that you're making regarding the way that we develop friendships and the way that we, you know, we reach for something, and I think this is a very important point you're making. This is called yummy liberation, and liberation, I believe, is an act of the will. You got to want to be free. And so
yeah.
when you're reaching for people, like I reached out to you, I heard about this Kelly Vandiver. I wanted to know her. I reached out to her. Now I'm just an entirely different space, and I'm very conscious of who I am. I remember who I was. I know who I want to be. I'm pretty clear about who I am, and I have this lovely Kelly Vandiver in my life now, who every week gives me. We have a reciprocal thing going on where we give and take at a level of high quality. So I'm underscoring your point here, and that is that when you are wanting liberation, when you're wanting freedom, you are going to come in contact with people who want similar freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the people
yeah.
who wanted freedom a particular kind of way, they'll find people who want it that way, and they're going to go a particular road. But there are enough roads for all of us to travel to liberation. There's no one road toward liberation. All of us are a road to liberation. And on my road, one of the people that I have is Kelly, and I'm so glad to be in your circle.
Well,
that's the
I
end
am
of
so
my
glad
sermon.
To be yours. Oh, well, great. So I'm interested, and thank you for saying that. That is so sweet. I am so happy that you're in my circle. We actually have several mutual friends who are amazing people, too. We just are awesome, Ulysses, okay?
We are.
We must be really special. Okay. So I'm interested to know, how did she respond when you said to her, like, did you say, hey, I think that this is for you. I think you're deflecting it onto me, but this is for you to own. Did she respond to that? And did you say
she
it like
did.
That?
She did, Kelly.
What'd she say?
And this was the other thing. So you've dealt with people before, I'm sure, where if you don't just listen to them, if you respond in any way, they will say you're being defensive. So I responded, and she says, that's interesting. I've never known you to be this defensive until now. I said, defensive? I said, I'm simply stating my position. I am not defending myself. I am stating my position in this matter. Well, it just seems to me like you're being pretty defensive. So, Kelly, since I didn't agree with her, I was being defensive. I thought it was amazing. And she wanted to get into this thing, and I hope you will touch on this for me, please.
Okay.
She wanted to get into this thing about sex being private. Now, I hear this a lot. I hear people say this a lot, that sex is a private matter. And I think what they mean is they don't want to be in orgies. You know, what they want to do is they want to have sex privately. I respect that. I'm not interested in even watching most of these people. So there. Anyway, sex is not as private as people think that it is. The act might be private, but the impact of sex is not private at all. How you and I show up to one another, Kelly, has something to do with how we get filled up when we're away from one another. I firmly believe that. So again, she said I was being defensive, and then she started talking about sex being a private thing. I agree. You go in your room or by yourself when you want to do that. I don't want to know. On the other hand, if you want to talk about it, I'm open to talking about it. And I could feel the lack of sex in the way that she was talking to me.
Mm-hmm. You could feel the lack of sex in terms of her own sexual energy.
Her own. Yep.
And that is always the case. That is always the case. Yeah. When you've got people, and it doesn't matter, I don't care if they're male, female, whoever, who come with that energy, you know it's a reflection. Like, you know it's because they aren't tapped into their sexuality. You know, when they're coming across with the judgment like that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was reading something
either
earlier.
Either that or they're just like super, well, it could also be super old school, like super old school. But typically those people are up in their like 70s and 80s and they're like, you know, just a little bit different.
Yeah, I totally agree. I guess I'm like some people who, let me just say how I am. I try not to go too hard on my friends at first. She took me off guard. And
really?
I felt like she took me off guard because, first of all, I didn't expect for her to bring this up. And then I didn't expect for her to essentially question my sanity. I felt like my fucking sanity was being questioned. Like, what are you doing?
Really? But, like, what did she say that made you question your sanity, though?
In my sanity, I felt like she was attempting to do that. So this whole thing of the devil, you know, when people get into that shit, you know, around, you know, the devil equals possession. And possession means you're out of control. And so, you know.
Okay.
I know she just had a loss in her life. She had a loss in her life recently. And in retrospect, Kelly, there were times following that conversation where I felt like, you know what? I should have just went in on her. I don't mean to say let her have it, like be mean, but I should have just given her more truth than what was a concession. In retrospect, I don't feel like I did her a favor by saying some more very direct things to her. But I'm not upset that I backed out and feel like, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with her that will be grounded in a deeper consideration versus just kind of on the spot, like I'm going to let you have it. You know, sometimes you react to somebody and you might stop and think, could I have done that better? And
yeah.
You might have.
Yeah, for sure.
I just felt like it was fragile. And I felt like, you know what? And as a matter of fact, I've had a conversation like this with both a male and a female around sex and the struggle. Around what am I doing with sex and the struggle? And both of them, for me, are very much alike. And so I need to have a conversation that's more planned, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm setting them up, but I think I might call them both and say, hey, make some time for me because I want to talk with you about your challenge around this matter because your challenge is not my challenge.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And honestly, you know, it's all of our challenge. I mean, just like when you said earlier, you know, it's not private, right? It affects everyone. So it's like, it's all our challenge because we have to be able to talk about these things in a way that that's adult-like and not childlike. And, you know, we're adults. We talk about adult things like fucking and sex and relationship and communication and connection. Those are adult themes. And, you know, the point is just like, people need to own that, realize that, take the stick out of their ass and, like, just be adults. And, you know, one person's opinion, I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm like, okay, one person's opinion is totally valid. Like, their opinion's totally valid. Is it valuable? Probably not so much, but it's valid. And so I just listen, and then I share what I know to be true for me and for many others. And yeah, and sometimes there's great transformation in those conversations, and a change of heart and a change of mind when you're able to just allow people. I think you handled it great. I think that you handling it as a fragile situation, not, you know, these are your friends, right? So
right.
So I think that it is fragile because I think it is one of those things when you're talking about sexuality with certain people, yeah, I mean, and I'm known for totally just triggering the fuck out of people and saying whatever, but I'm also learning how to be more ginger when I'm, or just like smooth when I'm talking to people who aren't open, like their hearts aren't open like that. And so I learned to be sensitive to that as well, because a lot of times with people when they're talking about sexuality, you know, again, there's trauma, you know, like why we see the whole Me Too hashtag on Facebook and all over social media right now. So there's a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of trauma. And then also there's a lot of biblical programming as well, genetic programming, all these programs at play. So yeah, like there needs, I think there needs to be some shock and awe to like snap people into like the reality that like sex is awesome and healing and cool. But then it's like this dance of like, okay, and now let me tell you why, and let me show you why. And then, you know, a little bit of, you know, provocative, and then like pulling it back, and like, you know, it's like this dance with the other people that just, you know, aren't quite there yet. And, it's just like with anything, with, you know, new paradigms and teaching people how to make that transition to join our side, to join the
right,
the right,
that's right
side.
That's right. That's right.
To join the sex side of life instead of the dark side of gloom and doom and negativity and privacy and shutting up and holding it in and, you know, starving our desires. So, I would love to like hear the conversation and be a fly on the wall when you have that conversation with them, because a lot of times you can cut to the chase real quick and just say, you know, just have you experienced sexual trauma? You know, I know that's a personal question, but have you, you know, and usually the answer is yes, that has definitely happened. So there's a block there.
Yeah.
Period. So people see the word even, and it's like this, hold up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That is right. I want to remind our listeners of who they're listening to. This is Kelly Vandiver, and you are listening to Sex and the Struggle, Yummy Liberation. That is Yummy Liberation. My name is Ulysses Bookslaughter. Liberation. Annunciation, as my my music teacher told me in seventh grade. Enunciate liberation.
God.
So I got this thing this morning. I just want to run this to you really quickly. I get these emails. If you're not familiar with them, I'm going to forward this to you. It's called Brain Pickings by Maria Popova. You ever seen Brain Pickings by Maria? It's a newsletter. It's a free newsletter. You can subscribe to it, or you can donate to it. Yeah. You haven't seen this?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So it's very interesting. She sends all kinds of relationship, mindfulness kind of stuff, and a really neat email every week. And in this one, I couldn't wait to read this one to you, because I knew I was going to tell you the story about my friend. But I just got this one this morning, And there's a story that she references called Big Wolf and Little Wolf, a tender tale of loneliness, belonging, and how friendship transforms us. Now, this book is called Big Wolf and Little Wolf, and it's written by a French author named Nadine Brun. I'm thinking this last name is pronounced Cosma, something like that. Anyway, okay. But anyway, in this book, here's the quote that I like. It says, "It is a sign of great inner insecurity to be hostile to the unfamiliar." I want to repeat that.
Yeah.
"It is a sign of great inner insecurity, a sign of great inner insecurity to be hostile to the unfamiliar." I love that line.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's so true. Yeah. And it's powerful to know that.
I mean, if I feel a particular way, Kelly, and in an unfamiliar situation, I have to ask myself, is it out there or is it in here?
It's always in there.
And so I go back to the conversation I was having with my friend, and I can relate this back to what you were talking about at the very beginning, talking about your friend who came into your circles. The willingness, the courage to come into a new circle says something about a person's security. So the person you're talking about who wants to come into these circles of power and pleasure and opportunity, they feel like they belong. They're not afraid. When people talk to me about sex and the struggle in a hostile way, and they're not sure what's going on, it says something to me about what's going on with them, not what's going on with me. I'm happy to be where I am.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and that person is not the only one like that. So it's powerful. It's powerful to listen. Listening, the ability to listen, is our greatest, it's just our greatest asset. And people will tell you their insecurities if you just listen to them long enough. People will tell you everything if you listen to them long enough. So
I totally agree. And you know, there's something that I've been saying a lot lately, and it is that listening is not a passive act. People think that talking is more important than listening. And they think that when you're listening, that you're not engaged. We talk about, you know, the more surrendered position, sometimes in BDSM stuff. We talk about the slave-master relationship in sociology. We talk about the one who just exists, who is existing for a moment to receive. That's powerful stuff. Listening is important. It's like, oh my God. I mean, we could go sex here, Kelly, but the one who's receiving, and not, you know, I don't know that I've ever been in a situation where I've been a receiver. I just love giving. My friends will be happy to know I'm a giver, you know. It's a beautiful thing to just listen, to just receive. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And and I love it because it puts me in an advantage.
Say that again.
That's funny. I said I love it because it puts me at an advantage. I'm sounding like my father or every day. Jesus.
You got on some tube socks, Kelly? You wearing some tube socks right now?
No, why?
Because that's what our fathers wore, tube socks. You know, they'd be sitting there talking shit wearing tube socks.
Yeah, they sure did, didn't they?
Thought that shit was hot.
Sure did. I know. Oh my God, there's a picture of my husband on the beach with these chicks, like one on either side of him, and he was wearing tube socks and tennis shoes. and a bathing suit on the beach. Yeah, I guess he did some sort of like amateur modeling suit. That shit was funny. But,
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
So,
now,
yeah.
don't ever do that to Ned. Don't you ever, ever post that picture.
I won't. And he had a mustache too. Oh my God! If I find that picture,
oh,
I'm totally gonna post.
Fucking way. See
that
now the beach and tube socks for one thing. He had a mustache.
He had a mustache. Back in the day. Mm-hmm. He sure did.
Oh,
he also changed his name to Malik when he was working at the airport.
Cut it out, Kelly.
He did.
Cut it out.
He didn't like his
name. Cut it out. You know what? Let me find Ned's number here. I'm gonna call him up and say that you making up shit on our podcast.
I swear,
mustache, tube socks, Malik.
Malik.
I'm just thinking right now.
Yeah.
I don't have any words for what you just got through saying. Does he still have tube socks?
No, he doesn't still have tube socks.
No.
So, I want to go back to the friend of yours.
Okay.
Who was telling you all about the devil.
Yeah.
And like the conversation that you guys had. And so when you go and have another conversation with her,
mm-hmm.
how do you think you're going to, like, how would you, like, if you were going to meet with her today and have a conversation
right.
with her, like,
right.
how would you do it? Like, what would it be? Would it be like you're going to meet with her in person? Does she live local?
I hadn't even thought about that. And now that you bring it up, Kelly, I think that it's been a while since I've seen her. And, geez, Kelly, you would ask me that, wouldn't you? Because, see, I was just thinking, like, phone call. But, you know, she lives within half hour, 45 minutes. I could, and
y'all
I haven't seen
totally
her in a while. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I also totally need that because so many times, so much can be alleviated when we're just in person and, you know, we're talking. Yeah.
You said you're like a life coach or something, right? You do this to people for a living. You do this type of thing to people for a living. You make suggestions like this for a living, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would love to be a fly on the wall. I would actually love to, like, mediate that conversation.
Really?
That would actually be really fun.
Okay,
so
let's pretend like you were. What would you do?
I would listen.
Hmm.
Yeah. I would
okay.
just listen.
Okay.
I would listen to her for a while and just get and she's gonna tell you everything. I mean, and she probably already has told you everything about why she feels the way she feels if you were listening for it. And
yeah.
so when we understand why and what's going on with people when they're talking to us, even when they're coming at us from a judgmental standpoint, from a you know, any kind of political or religious standpoint, you know, they'll tell you, everyone, any person will tell you. And so especially if you're listening for it, and you listen for what they don't say is the biggest thing. And so did you say to her, I know I keep staying on this topic, but it's interesting to me. So when you said to her, or when she said sex was private, did
mm-hmm.
you tell her, no, it's not really private?
I did. Yeah,
and then
I told
what did
her. She started talking about the word, and you know, she had been married for so many years, and She reminded me, or I shouldn't say remind, well, she reminded me that she wasn't a prude after she first told me she wasn't a prude. She reminded me a few times, I'm not a prude.
Okay, so what is that? Because my father said the exact same thing to me last. How old is this person?
50?
Okay. So my dad's 70, right? And I was over at his house like a week ago, literally, or 2 weeks, I can't remember. And, you know, he was talking to me about the things I talk about on Facebook. Like, you know, you really don't need to say this and you really don't need to say that. And then he'll say, and then he said, look, I'm not a prude. You know, I'm not a prude. Like, so when you said that she said that, I'm like, well, okay, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm just listening to him, and I'm, why is he justifying to me that he's not a prude? You know, and I haven't figured that one out yet completely, but yeah, so your friend who said that, I just find that that is said, I'm not a prude. What does that mean?
Well, you know what? I figured I'm going to do what my girl Tazima would do. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look it up. All right. And I'm going to trust that Merriam-Webster knows what they're talking about. A person who is excessively, or I never heard this fucking, the word is priggishly. No. What the hell is priggishly?
Priggishly.
Okay. A person who is excessively or priggishly attentive to propriety or decorum, especially a woman who shows or affects extreme modesty. Okay.
That's
so,
what prude means?
It says, I'm going to skip the priggishly thing. A person who is excessively attentive to propriety or decorum. So this is somebody, I'm taking it, who is not really concerned with social norms and, you know, what people think of them, or, you know, trying to hide, or so in the context of our conversation, because we were talking about sex and my naked body on the internet. By the way, she said that her daughters saw the picture, and so they called her and asked me what I was up to. Now, when you put that in there too, when you throw the fact that your daughter saw it, now her daughters, I should mention, are I'd say maybe 22 and 24 respectively. So they're not, you know, they're okay. Like a 6-year-old, you know, saw this. And even if the 6-year-old
so
did,
probably pissed about that too.
Pissed that her daughter saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking that that's part of it. And so again, not being a prude in the context of the sex conversation means, you know, I don't know, maybe she's saying, look, I get it in. I used to get it in, or, you know, I get down, you
like,
know.
I've seen some dick in my day.
That's what I'm talking about, Kelly. Don't get confused. I don't want you to get confused about how I roll. I just don't think.
Had some dick. Don't get it wrong. Okay, so that's what they mean. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
and
that's
we know
that's,
that my dad has gotten it in.
Right. You know, your dad has gotten it in, and my friend got it in. And so she just wanted to say that, I guess, in spite of the fact that she's gotten it in, that I was still out of line. Right.
And you should have said to her, well, if you're not approved because you got yours in, girl, I'm trying to get mine in too. Okay.
I hadn't thought about that, Kelly. You know what? And since, you know, it's unfortunate that I can't go back to that moment and toss that in, because that would have changed the whole thing. You know, that'd have changed. We probably wouldn't be talking about this shit right now had I just said, I'm trying to get mine in too, like you. You know, you ain't the only one who can get it in. You know,
like, I'm getting it in, and I'm teaching people along the way. So you gonna get happy and get with it. But yeah. So that's funny.
Yeah, I think that is funny. You know, the prude. of which she is not one.
She's prude. Well,
yeah.
Good. Then I'm glad she's not a prude. Then she can stop.
That scratches that off the list, huh?
Yeah.
So that's not the problem.
Right. So you're not a prude. What's the problem then if you're not a prude? Are you pissed at me because your daughter saw it? Like, is that what's going on? Or are you pissed off because
wait a minute.
You haven't been fucking enough? You know, like.
Yeah, you know. Wait a minute. Let's go back to what you got through saying. Are you upset because
okay.
your daughter saw it? Because your daughter saw
yeah.
it. Right?
Yeah.
You know, like, your daughter saw it. You know, the naked body, the partially naked body.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, this reminds me of some biblical shit, because there was a story about, I think it was Noah, whose son saw him naked. And, you know, something about him being told his son shouldn't have seen him naked or something like that. I think Noah was drunk. And he probably had been drinking or getting it in and didn't put his clothes back on. And so his son saw him. So, you know, that reference maybe has something to do with this. You know, maybe her daughter sees me as a father figure. And what the hell is my father figure, in parentheses, Noah, doing naked on the internet? Now, you know, the thing about the internet, Kelly, that tickles me, I'm going to deviate just for a second here. Everybody think that just because you're on the internet, that everybody sees you, like the whole fucking world sees
right,
you. That picture
right.
probably got 12 hits, Kelly. It probably got 12 hits.
I think it got more than that, Ulysses. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's like, oh my God, the whole world is looking at me. And it's like, no, motherfucker, they're not. Okay, they're not all
of you. Like, yeah. Do you know who I would be if everybody saw that? You know,
right,
you know, I wouldn't even be talking to you if everybody saw that picture. I'd be in a whole other circle. I'd get traction someplace else, you know?
Ulysses, you wouldn't be talking to me right now?
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about her.
Oh, okay.
This is what I would say to her. I'd be like, I'm in a whole other cycle in a whole other circle with a whole bunch of traction. And then I'd say, who is this? What's your name? So anyway, you're funny, Kelly. You're not wearing tube socks, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're not going to go out
yeah.
and get some after this conversation, are you?
Some tube socks? No, I hate socks. I only wear them with my tennies when I work out occasionally. Yeah.
You're funny.
I wear sandals. So yeah, that's funny. I think, yeah, definitely meet with her in person and keep it lighthearted. And
yeah.
keep reminding her, like, it would be interesting for you to, like, play it like this. Like, keep reminding her that, like, girl, you know you're a sexy beast. I know you're not a prude. I know you've gotten it in. Maybe you need to revisit that part of your life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, don't forget it, girl. You know.
And let me ask
but
you
yeah.
something, Kelly, while you're here. Because, see, you said to me that you thought I handled this well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, when you
I
were
wonder
being
if
delicate.
Somebody, yeah, I wonder if somebody on her side, maybe she had a conversation with somebody on her side, and they're saying the same thing to her that you're saying to me. I mean, could she, why is it that people don't see that they're being judgmental is what I'm really getting at? Why is it that she couldn't see that shit?
Because the human brain isn't wired. Like, I mean, the human brain is made to nitpick and look for negativity and look for everything outside itself as a threat to you. And so physiologically, it's the way that we're hardwired until we figure out that it doesn't get us anywhere in life to be constantly afraid of every fucking thing. And so when we learn that we are tired of living that way and we want something different, we start to reprogram our brains and teach them a different way of working, but they're still human brains. And humans, we look outside of ourselves for everything, for permission, for the reason why things aren't the way they are, or aren't the way we want them. And we look outside, and, you know, and the programming is very much woven in that sex is bad, sex is wrong unless you're married, and it's private, and da 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 da, and all those rules that are BS, but they are valid because they've been around for so long and a lot of people believe them. And so to those people, them making their argument for Jesus and God and Bible and all those things, they think that they're doing the right thing by you. They think that they are helping you. They think that they are loving you and disciplining you, which is what God would have them do as a friend.
Right.
It's that story kind of thing, you know? And so they're doing it out of love, they think, right? But it's like, yeah, I don't need that, but thanks for loving me. Like, thank you for loving me, you know? And they think that it's justified, like the judgment is justified because the Bible says this and the Bible says that. And
yeah,
some people are diehard, man, diehard fans.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very true. Very true. And I go back to the fact that we are talking about sex in this situation. And so the underlying thing here is that this was an attack, not just on me. You know, I could take it personally if I wanted to. And I you know, she was talking to me, my person, but this was a conversation about sex. This was a conversation about propriety and how I show myself in this world. You know, she made some statement around how it was comparable to, just because it feels good doesn't mean you should do it. And just like these kind of sweeping statements, as if my sex in my mind, in my being is just like hers. And that in so many words, Kelly, I need to be doing and thinking and feeling the same way she is in order for me to be right. So when she came to me with that shit about me being defensive, I was like, wow, that's some fucking Jedi mind trick shit, huh? So if I respond, I'm being fucking defensive. If I just shut up, it means you're right. And that's what's important, is that you're right. Because if you imagine this, Kelly, imagine if she was fucking wrong. What would she have to do if she was wrong? The answer is fuck. That's what she'd have to do.
Yeah.
She might have to take pictures and put them on the internet for the whole world to see. Get 13 hits and shit.
Well, I think it was, I don't know if attack is the right word, but I mean, an attack on really, more than anything, it was, if you want to call it an attack on change, an attack on authenticity. That's really what it's an attack on. And it's an attack, because she's in fear. She's in fear because people judge when they're in fear, like, okay, this is different. This is new. This isn't what I was taught was right or good or the right thing. And, you know, if everyone that, you know, was just talking openly around sexuality, that's not what God says. And, it's, you know, and so learning to just listen to that, no matter what anyone is saying. And I know you know how to listen. But yeah, for me personally, learning to listen, and then everything that a person says, it's like, yeah, yes, everything is a yes. I agree with everything. You know, yes, totally, you know, because, and then I'll go on with what I believe also, because they can all be true.
Mm-hmm.
They can all mm-hmm. be true.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that. I thought about truth earlier. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, they can all be true. It's just that, you know, there's going to be one that, or there's going to be one that's more valuable than the rest that are thrown out there. Mm-hmm. But they're all true. And it's like, yes. So it's like how you learn to communicate without arguing. You just agree with everyone. Like, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then this is what I believe to be true. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Now, I was thinking about truth earlier. You ever talk to yourself, Kelly? I mean, like, you know, like get prepared to talk to people by talking to yourself.
I talk to myself all day long. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I was doing it earlier and I was talking to myself about truth. And it was something along the lines of what you're saying right now. And that is, I always say there's no one truth fits all. You know, we come into, each one of us comes in a unique portal, right? We come through at a unique time, a unique place. Nobody else could come through there. And there's a truth in each one of our existences. There's an individual truth in each one of our existences. And what's important to me, like with this friend of mine, is that while she has a truth and I have a truth around this matter that really wasn't a matter to me until she brought it up, what I'm seeking here is an intimacy with her where we can respect one another's truth. That's what I want. I don't, you know, I don't, we don't have to agree. We have to be respectful of one another's truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. And I want her to know that I'm okay.
Yeah. With
I'm
her.
More than okay.
With her opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, that word is priggish. With the root of it is prig. I ain't never heard of that shit in my life until Yummy Liberation.
Learns new shit every day.
See, this is what Yummy Liberation gets you. It gets you a new word for your vocabulary.
Priggish.
The root word is prig, and then there's priggish, and then there's priggishly.
I did not even know this shit. Okay.
We got 90 seconds. Her. By the way, if you check out sexandthestruggle.com, on the front page, sexandthestruggle.com, you're going to see this lovely woman named Kelly Vandiver, who I'm linking our podcast to your picture there so people will be able to listen to these replays. And if they ever want to catch us live, we're doing this on Mondays now at 1 p.m.
Mondays at 1.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do for now. We'll keep you posted, people, on how we're doing this thing. Kelly, if people want to find you, we got like 30 seconds. If people want to find you after this, how do people find you?
I'm all over the social media, baby. So Facebook, The Kelly Vandiver, on Instagram as well. And then www.kellyvandiver.com. You can go there, get on the list so that you start getting all of my amazing bloggery when my new site launches very, very soon. We're putting the finishing touches. That's where you can find me.
Right on. And to all of you out there listening, a friendly reminder to you all, don't be priggish. Do not be priggish.
Don't be a prig.
Get it in. Get it in while you can.
Get it in while you're – this is the last day you'll ever be this young, folks. Last day you'll ever be this young. Use your body while you can.
Oh, wow, Kelly. You just the philosopher now, aren't you?
I've always been.
Sister. All right, they're shutting it down. Thank you so much, Kelly V, for being in my circle. And I look to talk to you. All right. I'll talk to you real soon.
Bye.
All right. Bye.